Okay.
Now, I have stitched up the AV team actually this morning because I did not tell them I'd be running a PowerPoint off my laptop from the front of the stage. I am so sorry, Alan. Is it down here? If you point where? This way? Under this one? Okay, they're going to come help me. I'm sorry. But friends, I have missed you guys. I have missed you a whole lot. It has been too long. Too long. Who here was here when I was here last? It was, almost 4 or 5 weeks ago? Yeah, it's been crazy, right? You would think, for me being here on a 0.5 loading, that I would have been here more frequently than that, right? But for those who would remember from the newsletter, all of us pastors went away for ministerial meetings. And the last 2 weekends, I've been at a church camp for Dandenong Polish. And then last week, I had a communion service at Dandenong Polish. And so you've got me for the next 2 weeks, which is either a blessing or a curse, depending on who you are. But I'm very happy to be here. I'm very much looking forward to hanging out with you guys. I've had a pretty crazy month. Thank you so much. What a legend. What would I do without AV, guys? That's all I have to ask. Thank you so much. Yes, thank you. While this bad boy boots up, we'll... Okay. All right, nice. Yeah, here we are. Okay, cool. Yeah. So I've been moving into my new house. It's been really cool. I've had a lot of help from you guys. You guys have been so great. My mum was telling me when I moved down here, she's like, you know, you won't have any friends down there. I'm like, Mum, I have friends, don't worry. But she made this comment that was really cool. She said, you'll find that in your church, you're going to have people who will act like family members. Someone who might act more like your mother, or someone who might act like an auntie or an uncle or even grandparents. And that is exactly what I've experienced here at One Turner. So thank you guys so much, both for the things that you've given me, which has been great, whether it be plates or couches or anything like that, or even just supportive messages and calls throughout the last month. So thank you guys so much. Yesterday, we had a pretty cool experience here in the church in the morning. It was the World Day of Prayer. So all the different churches in the neighboring area all came and hung out here, and we had a little service. It was really, really cool, actually. If you weren't here, you missed it. You'll have to come next year. It's going to be at another church. But it was a really great time, and I even got to spend some time with Lucas as well, who I cannot see wherever he was. But he's a little bundle of joy, isn't he, little Lucas? He'd do this thing that I like to call the merry-go-round, which is you put him into somebody's arms, and he goes like this to the next person, and then he goes to that person, and then to the next person, and he just keeps going around the circle of wanting to be held by everybody. But it was good. It was cool. It was a really fun day. But that's not all I've been up to. I was actually really connecting with that children's story, because you were talking about sores and scars and that kind of thing, and I have just given myself a new one in the last week. It was a good time. I went out for a friend's birthday, actually. We went out wakeboarding just nearby somewhere. And I happened to do a really cool trick called the hospital flip. And I found myself sitting in Maroondah Hospital. Yeah, Maroondah Hospital for, I think, maybe 7 hours before they operated on my head. You can't see it because I'm finally allowed to wet my hair, but I've been wearing a hat all week to cover up my unwashed hair. But this is, I'll show you guys the photo. Do you want to see? Yeah. This is what I looked like as I stacked, my beard features and everything. It's I hit the deck, did what we call a scorpion, which is where the board comes over your back and hits you in the back of the head. So come find me after if you don't mind a bit of blood, and I can show you the photos and videos. It was really fun. I needed, Rick and Edna's honey there to be healing. Actually, in fact, they gave me some honey. I've been enjoying it on my Weet-Bix every morning. It's been great. But yeah, so for my church camp with Dan and Paul, we went down to Phillip Island, and I had a great time. I walked out there and met some of the penguins. I have no idea if this is going to work or not, but I've got this little video here. I'm convinced it won't, but it's worth a shot. How do I play a video? All right. I'm a pastor, not an IT guy. Anyway, that's a penguin. Come find me after for the video. It was a good time. But yeah, so that's what I've been up to. And last night, I actually went to the Youth Vespers that was over at Nunawading. If you were at the Youth Vespers... I actually don't remember. Yeah, I know. Mia was there. For those who may be wondering, this lovely woman sitting over here in the blue, that is actually the beautiful Mia that I told you guys about a few weeks ago. So thank you for coming along, Mia. But yeah, so it's been cool. We went to the Vespers thing last night. It was really great, hanging out with all the youth over this side of Melbourne. It was a really fun experience, worshipping with those guys and hearing what was going on in the other youth groups around the city. It was cool. And naturally for me, youth is a big passion. I've told you guys about that before. And another space that I've been doing youth work in is summer camps. And did I mention that last time? Okay, well, there you go. And now you know that I really love it because I mentioned it twice. I love summer camps, right? And over the last break, I had a great experience where I was able to speak at these summer camps up in North New South Wales and over in South Australia. And while I was speaking with these young adults, they were able to go through this awesome week of activities, hanging out with new friends and old friends, that kind of thing. And as we went through this week, they grew closer and closer to Jesus. Have you guys ever had an experience just like that where you actually go on a, what you might call a spiritual high? You guys ever had that? I understand that most people know what I'm talking about when I say a spiritual high. If you don't, maybe you're new here, that kind of thing, that's cool too. Spiritual high is simply where you have spent a lot of time with God recently and you are on a spiritual high. You're at the top of the mountain and you're like, life is good because God is good, right? That's a spiritual high. And at these summer camps, that's the kind of thing that happens. Here's a little photo of me hanging out with these guys. It was really, really cool. And they had, as I said, this spiritual high. And they would often mention this thing about how they would come to camp and they would have these spiritual highs and they didn't want to leave summer camp and then return back to everyday life and come down from the spiritual high, right? And it actually kind of made me a little bit sad because they were expecting this to happen. They were expecting this to happen. They finished up summer camp, they'd go home and like settle back into everyday life. And so what I actually did with these guys was I ended up rephrasing the term spiritual high into something else, but actually a return to the true experience. To me, the way I voiced it to these guys was a return to the true experience, meaning what we did at summer camp was actually where we should be with God. That we would spend time with God every single day, that we would be in fellowship with other people thinking the same kind of things as us every single day. We would eat food together. We would hang out in small groups together. We would talk about God together. We'd worship together. I think I might have even said that already. And we'd grow together. And that, to me, is the true experience. If you're walking in with Jesus, that's the true experience, doing that kind of thing regularly, right? So that's actually what we're talking about here today, returning to the true experience. And what was really cool about that week at summer camp was that a bunch of campers there had actually committed their lives now at that camp to the true experience. And I was able to pray over these guys. Here's a photo of me hanging out on the beach. We're very fortunate to have a summer camp right on the beach. That's a bunch of the youth there from that camp. And there's me wearing my hat as usual, praying over these guys and speaking over them. And that was really cool because everyone else there were able to celebrate the decision that these guys had made and to be able to encourage them in their walks. And so, yeah, remaining in the true experience was essentially what we actually were trying to encourage that week. Because everyone talked about the spiritual high, spiritual high, spiritual high. And I'm sitting there saying, hey, this is not a high, but this is actually where you can be all the time. Now, you guys may say, hold on, Josh, you're making a big claim right there. Now, fair enough, right? You can call me out on that if you like. But do it after I finish talking and maybe your mind will be changed. We'll see. But yeah, that was the thing for me. I went, this doesn't have to end when you leave camp. You can take this back. Remember what you're doing here at camp and take it back with you. And I got a little story for you guys. It's actually, it's found in the Bible in a spot called Acts 2. And it is, in my opinion, one of the experiences in the Bible where people are living the true experience, where people are actually living this experience that I'm talking about here at summer camp. It's pretty cool. And it was actually really cool hearing Kiralee's prayer because it spoke directly to this almost. But it was the Holy Spirit in the early church. Anyone here familiar with the story in the early church in Acts 2? If you're not, you can get out your Bible if you want. If you don't have a Bible here, that's okay because I will have the text on the screen. I will be doing some reading from mine. I have mine up here. This is it. But yes, so let's go straight into it. Before we do, I'm going to pray real quick, if that's okay with everyone. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you have brought us here on this fine Sabbath day. You've given us great weather. And Lord, we want to come into this space here with you right now. So Father, we pray a prayer of protection around this space, Lord, that you will be keeping us safe, Lord, from any attacks from the devil. And Lord, that you'll be able to fill this space with your Holy Spirit, as we're about to read about right now. Father, I pray that, that as I speak right now, your words will come out and not mine. In Jesus' name, and as a son of yours, we pray this prayer. Amen. Cool. Okay, Acts 2. That's where we're at. It's pretty cool story, this one, right? I'm going to start off with this story that happened about 7 weeks after Jesus' resurrection, right? So for those who are who have no idea what I'm talking about, a guy named Jesus came down, he died for you and for me, and he actually spent 3 days chilling out in a tomb before he resurrected again. And then he ended up going back up to heaven. It's a crazy story. If you want to know more, come talk to me about this after. But what happened 7 weeks later is this, right? All the believers are hanging out in a place. The believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm in the skies above them, and it filled the house. It's pretty cool, actually, what's going on here, right? Because these guys are going, we've had the craziest experience, a seriously epic spiritual high, but we thought all our hopes and dreams were dashed when Jesus died. But it turns out he resurrected just like he said he would. And here, 7 weeks later, we're still hanging out all together, meeting together, and living life together. But they weren't even experiencing it to the fullest yet. And here's why, because of the very next thing that happened. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. That's a pretty cool thing, right? Is anyone here bilingual? I know Chris is. There's Chris. Hey, Chris. Anyone else bilingual? I'm trying to be bilingual. I'm learning on my phone with Duolingo. I'm learning Polish, and it's really hard. I can only say a few things like "Mężczyzno je jabłko," which is like a man eats an apple or something. Is that right, Chris? Yes. Okay. I'm making progress. Dzień dobry. Anyway, yeah. So I'm getting there, right? I'm learning things here and there and trying to practice my Polish. But imagine having this ability that I'm sitting here speaking to you in English, and the next minute I'm talking fluently in Polish. To me, that is like, oh, come on. Like, that's a bit ridiculous, right? To me, that seems like, as I would say, as a skeptic in my roots, that's ridiculous. But what's cool is that it happened. And even though it's ridiculous, that's the awesome thing about the Holy Spirit, is that it will do amazing things through you. And I'm going to come back and touch on that point at the end, all right? But it is amazing what the Holy Spirit will do if you let it do its work. So that's exactly what happened here. These guys here get filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're speaking in other languages because the Holy Spirit allowed them to do it, which is pretty dang cool. And so what happens next, right, is there's all these guys up there talking, prophesying, all that sort of thing, and all these other languages, and then people nearby hear this. You ready? Godly Jews from many nations were living in Jerusalem at that time. When they heard what was going on, they came running to see what it was all about. And they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. So it's not just that they're up there making all these weird noises. These guys were speaking fluent languages, right? It'd be like me sitting up here and Chris is hearing me in Polish. And he's just like, wow, this is great. Josh has been really on top of his Duolingo. That's what it would be like. And so, to me, that's pretty awesome. I'm going to have a quick drink. Excuse me. To me, that would be really, really cool to experience. And I think it would honestly amaze us all, as it did for them. Because in the very next verse, it says, they were beside themselves with wonder. To me, that's just like, oh, wow, look at that. That's like, seriously, wow, this is amazing what's going on. How can this be? They exclaimed. And the truth is this, right? They were experiencing the epicness, I might say, of the Holy Spirit. They were experiencing the craziness of the Holy Spirit, which is pretty dang cool. I'm going to jump into Acts 2. If you would like to turn into it with me, I won't have these verses on the screen, so you're going to have to either just listen or open up your word yourself. For me, if you have the same Bible as me, it's page 836, but I doubt it. Anyway, so here, Peter is doing some really cool stuff, right? He's proclaiming the work of the Holy Spirit over time with Jesus, but also in the present tense. And he outlines all the things that's happened with Jesus. Here are some of the things that actually he talks about. He gets up, and when he gets everyone's attention, he speaks to this whole crowd, and he says these different things. He talks about a prophecy from the prophet Joel. In verse 17, it says this, "In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit upon all my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon will turn blood red. Before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives, and anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's a pretty crazy thing to read, right? But here, Peter's quoting it to everybody. And he's actually quoting it because he is saying, This is coming true right before your very eyes. The Holy Spirit is here among us. You know, just before I read about the tongues of fire on them, that's him. He's quoting it right there. I'm straight out of this thing, right? He says it right there. In those days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all my servants. And what's really cool is it's not just those guys 2,000 years ago, but it's actually us today. He will pour out his Holy Spirit on each and every one of us. And some of you may be familiar with this topic, so don't zone out yet, because we're going to go even deeper. And Peter says these other things, right, where he talks about another prophecy that is actually about Jesus. And he references this because this was so fresh. At the time, Jesus had just died 7 weeks before and resurrected, right? This would be the talk of the town. Everyone would know about this thing. In fact, we know that it is the talk of the town because when Jesus is walking along the road to Emmaus, I think it is, he's speaking to two men and they're saying, how can you not know? Everyone is talking about this. How can you not know, right? So we know. Everybody knew what had happened. And here Peter is saying, guys, we knew this would happen because David actually told us. And here's what David said. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is filled with joy and my mouth shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life and you will give me wonderful joy in your presence. That prophecy is right there about Jesus. That he won't even rot in the grave. He will be up and out of there in 3 days' time. That's crazy. To me, that is really, really cool because Peter is standing there going, you're seeing some crazy stuff, but this is not some out of control experience that is not blessed by God or anything. This is actually something that God had talked about through prophecies from years ago. So he's validating this situation that's going on as a God-ordained thing, which is really, really cool. And then the third one that he actually goes on to is this. He quotes David again and says this here. The Lord said to my Lord, sit in honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. And I think that it's pretty cool when he brings that up because he's actually talking about Jesus in his sovereignty. So this is epic, right? Pretty much what Peter has done here is he's actually broken down the gospel for these guys. And he said, the Holy Spirit is here upon us. Jesus died and he rose again and he is now ruling as your Lord and Savior, right? That's actually what he says. He says here in the next, I think I've got it in the next verse. Yeah, here we go here. He says this, let it be clearly known by everyone in Israel that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah, to be both Lord and Savior. That's awesome, right? To me, that is really, really, really cool because he is just sharing the plain old gospel. Jesus came down, he died for you, he resurrected to save you from your sins, and the Holy Spirit is yours to go into ministry. Sounds simple enough, right? No? Okay, all righty. Maybe I need to warm you guys up some more. But to me, that is amazing because he is just keeping it real simple. Jesus is your Lord and Messiah if you so choose to have it. And that is epic, right? Because these guys, I can tell you now, they were warmed up. They were definitely warmed up because in the very next verse it says this, Peter's words convicted them deeply. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Brothers, what should we do? They were convicted deeply, right? They felt this right to their core because they just saw it 7 weeks ago. They knew they were a part of the problem. They knew that they'd done something wrong. And they're going, okay, God, I'm here ready. Peter, tell us what to do. And Peter responds with a pretty plain and simple rebuke, right? Pretty plain and simple. You guys have heard these words all the time. It's not even an uncommon thing to hear, right? But sometimes because we hear things all the time, you can blow things off like, oh, that's the cliche, or that's this, or that's that. And you forget that it actually applies to you today, right here in One Turner Church. But he says this, you ready? Each of you must turn from your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So he says it really simple. The Holy Spirit is here today as prophesied. Jesus came and died as prophesied and resurrected as prophesied. And he is now ruling as prophesied. And the truth is, you can be a part of this right now as well. This is not something that is left behind the Old Testament. This is something that is real right now in the New Testament and is in fact real right now for us here today. And he goes, turn from your sins and turn to God. Now, who is perfect? In the worldly sense, who is perfect? Never commit a sin in your life. Put down that. Anyway, I love I love it. I'm not perfect, most definitely not. And so this definitely applies to me. And I'd be so bold as to say it applies to each and every one of us here in this room, to actually turn from our sins and turn back to God. It's an everyday experience if we really want to take it seriously. And it's pretty cool because he then calls us to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I highlighted that last bit in red because I want to emphasize it's a gift. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's one of those things that is given to us freely. Luke 11:13 says, and I will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. That's a promise you can claim. It's really cool. If you want to talk more about the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to go too far into it because that's another sermon for another time. But come and ask me after. I love the Holy Spirit. It's great. But it's super cool, right? Because these guys hear what's going on and they go, wow, you're right. We do need to turn from what we're doing. You've actually called us out on this and we are willing to accept what you're saying and step into this experience that you guys are experiencing, this true experience that you are experiencing, right? It's really, really cool stuff. Because this is how crazy it is. You always hear the joke when someone says, I wish I was there for that sermon, that what an appeal that must have been. I love this part of you, right? Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church, about 3,000 in all. That's a whole lot of people. These guys were talking to a whole lot of people, and they were all hearing it in their own language, and the Holy Spirit was moving on that day in the hearts of every single person there in that space. In the hearts of every single one in that space, the Holy Spirit was moving. And so it's pretty cool, right? Because instantly they become part of the family. They become part of the group. Now last week, Pastor Wendy was speaking about communication and about the expectations or mind reading, sitting on the mat and talking and communicating with each other. That's part of this experience we're talking about, where they joined in on this family, where they are immediately a part of it. In fact, somebody actually said, I forget who said that when you accept Jesus, you are instantly a brother or sister of all other believers. That's a pretty daunting thought, right? I come from a family with two siblings, but to think that I have millions of brothers and sisters in Jesus, it's like that's kind of foreign language almost to me. But I think that's amazing. I think that's amazing. And you would see it right here in verse 42. They joined with the other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. It's actually really cool because here they're telling us the ingredients. They're telling us the ingredients to fellowship. They're telling us some of the ingredients to this true experience that I've been talking about. Now, before I listed a bunch with summer camp, but there's even more in here, which is really epic, right? All the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. And to me, this is like the summer camp experience all over again, right? It's community, it's worship, it's spending time in the Word, in what Jesus has to say, in fact, in Jesus, right? The Word, they're spending time with God, remembering Jesus' sacrifice, and actually sacrificing themselves. They are giving freely to each other. They are giving of themselves, just like what we do here at Food Pantry, right? I can't believe, is Liz here? Liz Heath? Okay, she's not. That's fine. She is amazing what she does. If you ever see that woman around this week, go and say thank you so much for what you do with Food Pantry. If you don't know what she does, ask her. She will maybe not tell you because she's too humble, but she's amazing, right? Amazing what she does there. But these guys did this experience. They lived this experience every single day. They were a part of a bigger picture together. And the cool thing about it is it wasn't just like, oh, this is practical to do this. That's all. Oh, well, you cook today, I'll cook tomorrow. It wasn't just that. There was actually a deeper experience to it, and we see it in 2:47. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Each day the Lord added to their group those who are being saved. It's pretty cool, right? Because the people there are different. They're changed in some way. They came originally as people hanging out in the same city. They weren't even associated to these guys. And here they are enjoying the goodwill of all people, the kindness of all people, a different kind of person, someone who's willing to give of themselves for other people for nothing, for free, right? And the Lord was there adding to their group daily. Now, this is, in my opinion, 100% work of the Holy Spirit, right? This is the Holy Spirit working in these guys' lives. I don't know about you, but it doesn't come easy to just be straight up generous and kind all the time. It is actually a discipline thing that I've got to actively do, right? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I have to actively do it. And so I look at these guys and I go, does this sound good to you? Would you guys want to be a part of this? Honestly, would you want to be a part of this? To me, I would so much want to be a part of this. To be able to live in a place where I don't have to cook every day? Amen. To be able to live in a place where you can hang out with people who are just as friendly as you? How awesome is that? To be able to spend time each day talking about God, praying, reading about God from your Bible, that kind of thing, and even singing about God, to me, that is epic. I love it. And so I got a question here, which is essentially my question to you. How can one Turner, this church right here that we're all in, experience the true experience? How can we experience the true experience? Now, I'll be honest with you. There is actually a group here. This is no judgment on any other group, but there's one group in particular I want to mention. Friendship group who meets here throughout the week. I'm blown away by that group. It is awesome. If you've never been a friendship group, doesn't matter how old you are, duck in. I'm sure they won't kick you out. They haven't kicked me out yet. And it's a great time. It really is awesome. Because in there, we actually have a lot of the ingredients that we're talking about here. We hang out, we talk about God, we sing songs together, we share with each other our experiences, we eat food together. It's an amazing time amazing thing to be a part of. I really love it. But I got a question. Who here, I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm not going to put you on the spot, don't worry. Sometimes we can think maybe that Sabbath is our experience, that we come here on a Saturday and we spend just one day a week only. And that's all we do when it comes to taking care of our walk with God, when it comes to walking with the Holy Spirit. like I said, I'm not going to ask who here thinks that. But anyway, Sabbath sometimes is all that we are doing. But I see there at Friendship Group, they're coming in, they're meeting, right? And it's not just what we're doing in groups. It's also what we're doing on our own as well. Now, you always hear that song, right, when you're young. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. I'm a firm believer in that, but not because it's the right thing to do and tick the box, but because that is part of this true experience. It's part of this true experience. That personal devotion time is actually where you build your personal relationship with Jesus. It'd be like if I only ever seen Marlene McMahon in the friendship group. I can only ever get to know her in that space, right? But if I go and visit Marlene every single day, I will get to know Marlene so much better one-on-one as a friend, right? It's the exact same thing with Jesus. Sometimes you can find yourself even just singing in the car because you're so stoked that Jesus has saved you, right? To me, I found myself doing that last night. The new Hillsong United album is epic. I love it. But there's one thing that I really liked about these guys is that they would meet in each other's homes. They would share food with each other. They were generous with each other. They would sing. They would worship. They would praise. They would give generously to other people. They would invite people in, and the Holy Spirit was helping them the whole way. The Holy Spirit was doing this work. It was amazing. And the truth is, we can be doing the same thing, right? I meet up with the youth group whenever I can because I've got two churches, right? And both youth groups meet up at the same exact time. Ugh, dilemmas. Anyway, I meet up with these guys once a week. It's awesome. And we get to talk about life. We get to journey together, do this exact thing that I'm talking about right here. And the truth is, you can be a part of those small groups too. You can be a part of those small groups too. So I got to ask you one question. And this is where I talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and how epic it is. Were they any different to us? And actually, I'm going to narrow this down even more. Was Peter and John, because straight after this, they go on to do some amazing healing of a lame person, right? If you've never read Acts, it's an epic book. It's like a full action story. It's awesome. I love it. I love reading it with teenagers. They froth on it. But were they any different to us? Peter and John, right? I'm going to argue that they weren't at all. And I have evidence. You ready? Right here in Acts 4:13, it says this. They get taken into the Sanhedrin. It's this pretty much the high court of the time. And this is what happens. You ready? In Acts 4:13. Now, when the men of the Sanhedrin saw the confidence and boldness of Peter and John, the guys just like you and me, they grasped the fact that they were uneducated and untrained men. They were astounded and began to recognize that they had been with Jesus. Last week, Pastor Wendy was talking about sitting at the feet of Jesus, right? And to me, I'm seeing this as exactly what Peter and John were doing. They were sitting at the feet of Jesus every day for like 3.5 years. It was awesome, right? And so they walk in there because of their relationship with Jesus, because of that thing that was taken care of in their personal devotion time with Jesus, they were able to stand there with confidence and boldness and proclaim these amazing things to preach to thousands of people in the power of the Holy Spirit and even do miracles. It's crazy, right? It's actually crazy what they did. But it says right here, they were uneducated, they were untrained, they were dudes just like us. So I don't know about you, but to me that gives me hope in going, hey, Josh Cross, this guy standing right here, can do these things. And it's not because it's about me. It's not because I want Josh Cross to be doing it, but simply the fact that I am just like these guys. I'm going to call myself uneducated and untrained, right? Sure, I've got a degree, right? But at the end of the day, there's so much more to know. But does that stop me? Did it stop them? For me, they are just like you and me. They are just like you and me. And the Holy Spirit can be working in your lives as it did for them. Because the truth is that their only power came from knowing Jesus and following the Holy Spirit. So that is actually my challenge to you today. My challenge to you today is to return to the true experience, which comes from the Holy Spirit, which comes from time in the Word, spending time with Jesus, that kind of thing. It's a slow and steady wins the race kind of thing, right? I'm not saying you've got to read the Bible in a week. But what I am saying is that when Jesus is calling you, when he's knocking on your heart, Revelation 3:20, when he knocks on your heart, open the door and let him in. And you may say, Josh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian my whole life. But it's every single day he knocks on your heart. And that's when you need to be inviting that Holy Spirit in and saying, okay, God, today I invite on your Holy Spirit. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I'm actually going to pray with you guys real quick before I get the band up. Actually, the band can come up now. But yeah, I'm going to pray with you guys real quick, and then we're going to sing a wonderful song, which I'll talk about probably after, actually. But I want to say this. If you want to know more about Jesus as your Savior, or if you want to be baptized even into this family, if you haven't been baptized before, maybe you've heard a lot about it, and maybe you've even done some studies, but you're like, yeah, I'm not quite ready to commit, please come and talk to me about this. I want to help you. I want to help you, and by helping you, I mean I want to show you Jesus. That's all I will actually do. I don't have the answers, but this book does. And so that's what I'll be doing with you. And if you want to fellowship throughout the week in small groups, then come speak to me as well, because that's also part of my job. I get paid to do it. So come and talk to me, because I want to help you. I want to help you do it. And on top of that, if you want to be part of the true experience, then please, please come speak to me. And as I pray right now real quick, remember those decisions. If you are choosing to do those things, then maybe just put your hand on your heart as we pray. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you've given us this awesome day, this fine Sabbath day that we can come and spend time together, Lord, in community, similar to what the early church was doing, Father. And Lord, I pray that as we go out into our weeks, I pray that we will not leave it here in this space, but actually take it with us, that we'll meet up in each other's homes, that we'll share food, Lord, that we'll worship together, that we'll start each day with you, Lord. So, Father, most of all, we want to surrender ourselves to you and invite in your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, today, may this be the start of the rest of our lives, Lord, of days that we are committing to you and inviting your Holy Spirit in. In Jesus' name, and as sons and daughters of yours, we pray this prayer. Amen.